Grace you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. So I want to take us back to the beginning of chapter 3 of our reading this morning. In chapter 3, we learn that John, who is Jesus' cousin, which we learned back in chapter 1, John comes on the scene and he's shouting the proclamation, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make smooth and straight the roads." And then John kind of really jumps right into things. "You scum," he says, "do you think that you can keep on doing what is evil and wickedness and God is not going to notice? I don't care if you say, well, we have Abraham for our ancestors. Don't you think that God is capable of raising up descendants of Abraham from the rocks and the stones that are all around us?" John says to them, "What's important is how you live your life." So the people, well, they kind of whine in response. What are we supposed to do? So John lays it out for them. "Those of you who have plenty of clothes, give to those who don't have any. Those of you who deal with finances, treat all people fairly. Those of you who are in positions of authority, don't bend the people to your own personal gain." Instead of telling the people what they want to hear, in other words, "Oh, don't worry, you're going to be fine, just keep doing the sacrifices, you know, take care of yourselves." Instead of telling them that, John tells the people instead how to live. John tells them to be humane to one another. John reminds them that they are to be compassionate to those who are in need, that they need to take care of those who are not in as positive of a position as they themselves are. Take care of those who don't have enough food. Take care of those who don't have a safe place to live. And surprisingly, the people are interested in what John has to say. Interested to the point that they start talking amongst themselves. Is this guy the Messiah that we've been waiting for? And so John clarifies for them, which is where our gospel lesson comes into play this morning. John says, "No, I am not the Messiah. That one is coming after me. And I am not worthy to untie the laces of his sandals. No, I'm going to baptize you with water. The one after me," John says, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So right away, we have learned there are two different baptisms. John is baptizing for repentance. Jesus' baptism with the Spirit is for forgiveness. With John's baptism, you rise up out of the water, your proverbial slate has been wiped clean, you walk up onto the riverbank, and you start sinning all over again, racking up those marks on that clean slate. With Jesus' baptism of the Spirit, we rise up out of the waters, forgiven, our slates are clean, but that slate has now been coated with Teflon. Nothing is able to be marked on it ever again. It's not going to stick. But it's not the water that does this. It's how God is made known to us in the water. Now, I'm going to go slightly off track here for just a moment, and I want you all to bear with me. I'm pretty sure that everybody here today has a room in your home like what we have in the Brock household. It's a room that is pretty much dedicated entirely to the use of water. I can walk into this room and there's a bowl, and I can move a lever right above that bowl, and water comes out and fills that bowl, and I'm able to wash my face, and I can brush my teeth and shave. In another portion of that room, there's an area that it takes up almost the entire wall that I can go into that area. I'm usually naked. My wife told me I'm not supposed to say naked from the pulpit. I'm sorry. But I'm in there, and I turn the knob, and water comes out, and it covers me head to toe, and I can clean my body. And the amazing thing, right next to that, there's this device that's filled with clear, clean water. And into that device, I can put the stuff that my body no longer needs. And then I can push the lever, and all of that stuff that I no longer want is whisked away out of that room, out of my house, down the street somewhere. I have no clue where it goes. I don't want to know where it goes. Hopefully, everybody here has at least one of those rooms in your house. Some of you might have two or even more than that. We only have one, much to my wife's chagrin. You know, did you know that there are people here in the United States who don't have that stuff in their own homes? There are people around the world who have to walk a mile or more just to get clean, fresh, safe drinking water. I didn't look up those numbers because I didn't want to get depressed, but even one is too many, I think, because water is essential to human life. Water is essential pretty much to all of life as we know it. We use water to clean ourselves. We use water to clean our clothes, to clean our homes, to clean our cars and our streets. We use water to cook, to boil, steam, wash, or somehow assist us in practically everything that we eat. Our bodies are filled with water. Water brings life. Now, yes, I know that water can, there are waterborne viruses that are deadly, and pollution in water is not a good thing, but in general, water brings life. And our faith uses that imagery to help us grow in our belief. The separation of water and dry land was the second step in the story of creation. We learn about how God cleansed the entire planet with the story of Noah and the flood. The people of Israel escaped from the armies of Pharaoh after they crossed the Red Sea and the seas closed back in together to separate them from the armies. God provided water for the people when they were out in the desert. Water is necessary for life. And water is important to us in our faith. We, as Christians in the Lutheran tradition, say that water used in baptism is an ordinary element used in extraordinary circumstances. Martin Luther said that God is in, with, and under the water. We could say that the Spirit infuses the water with the Spirit itself, that when we gather together, especially for a baptism, as we did this morning, it is the faith of those who are gathered who help make that water more than just water. But then when we're done, when the rite is finished and worship is over, it becomes once again simply water. Whatever it is that happens at baptism, God uses water to help us slow, stupid human beings to comprehend that impossibility that just happened. When Jesus was baptized, he rose up from the waters, and the Spirit descended down from heaven in the form of a dove. When we arise from the waters of our baptism, the Spirit is washed over us in the waters of the font. And God becomes present in our lives while we worship. When we leave here and go home or go to school or go to work or wherever we are, God remains with us. What makes us different then, what sets us apart from the way this world lives, this world that tells us to, oh, you've got to look out for number one. You've got to do things my way or the highway. Yeah, I'm putting me first. That's what the world says. What makes us different from that thinking, what sets us apart as believers, is how we live out those promises that were made at our baptism. How we allow those promises to affect our everyday lives. And I know you just heard them being made, but I'm going to remind us again, those promises that we will nurture our faith so that we might learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. When we allow the waters of our baptism into our lives, when we stop turning our backs on God, when we stop telling God no, when we stop doing that, we are telling the world that we will not take advantage of those less fortunate than us. We will not ignore those who have fallen on bad times, whether it's through their own mismanagement or circumstances beyond their control. When we strive to live a baptismal life, if we're in positions of authority, don't use that position for your own personal gain. Use it to help those who are in need. Are we willing, then, through the life-giving waters of our baptism, to live differently from this world? Are we willing to share God made known to us in water in order to tell others of Christ's life-giving message of grace and love and forgiveness? Sisters and brothers, I hope your answer is yes. Amen.